presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
Stay X4 calling control tower. Stay X4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to the X4. Wind southeast, steering 1200, all clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Thanksgiving 1947. Turkeys, sweet potatoes, cranberry sauce, mince pie, and all the fixings associated with this American holiday. Such a feast goes to show that we are the best fed country in the world. This Thanksgiving we have more to be thankful for than any other, as a matter of fact. I think it probably means even more now than it did way back in 1621, when Thanksgiving was first celebrated. Gang, do you remember your American history? If you do, you know that Governor Bradford set apart a day for Thanksgiving in order to give thanks for the good harvest of the pilgrims. The day has been observed ever since in this country, where we all have so much to be thankful for. I think this is a fitting time for all of us to give thanks for the many blessings bestowed on us this past year. We are the only people in the entire world who have enough food, clothing, and shelter. And this Thanksgiving, Hop and Tank aren't having that extra helping of turkey and potatoes. This Thanksgiving, they're eating less, so that we may send more to the starving people in Europe. I think that if our table has less today, so that some boy or girl in Europe can eat, it's the best Thanksgiving we can offer. Wouldn't you feel better after that big Thanksgiving dinner if you knew that by passing up that extra helping, you had helped a youngster over there? I'm sure you would. It would give you the real Thanksgiving spirit. Well, gang, in just a few minutes, I'll be back to talk with you about some new developments in aviation. So don't forget to listen. And now for our story. A night of intense activity and strange happenings has finally dawned into a day clouded by a threat of sudden, instant death. Pop and Tank have received two warnings to leave the Black Mesa, and as we join them now, are walking through the dimly lit tunnels of the underground aircraft plant on their way to the mess hall. Tank is very nervous.
That voice we heard through the vent, the guy said we had to be out of here by sunrise, didn't he?
Check. Think he knows we ain't going?
He'll find out soon enough. He's probably in the mess hall himself right now.
Well, he won't try anything there, will he?
I doubt it. We'd better be on our guard for anything.
Where is the mess hall, anyway? We've been walking for miles.
Straight ahead, that last door. You better not eat too much, though.
Huh? Why not?
Today's Thanksgiving. Be having a big turkey dinner later.
I ain't so interested in food right now. I just want to be where there's people around. These tunnels give me the creeps. Step it up, will you?
But even as Hop and Tank quicken their pace, a shadow slides out of one of the cross tunnels behind them and cat-like follows in close pursuit. When they are less than 20 feet from the door of the mess hall, it stops. An arm is slowly raised, and a black revolver gleams in the light of a soot-coated bulb. The boys are completely unaware of what is going on behind them.
Hop.
Yeah. What are we going to do about Carla Davis?
Do?
Well, she's supposed to meet somebody in Yellow Creek today, ain't she?
We'll be there to find out who.
Hey, what's this?
Huh? What's what?
Jack, no, no. Nobody's shooting at you.
Hold on.
Hold on. He's running away. You all right, Hank?
Yes.
Now, come on, ask her. You see who it was?
No, no, it's too dark.
Hey, they're coming out of the mess hall.
Sure, they heard the shots. Oh, hold it. Here's another tunnel.
Which way he go?
Oh, you got me. Could have gone straight down the tunnel or left or right.
Don't tell me we lost him.
Hop, Tank.
Here comes Major McCall.
Yes, Major.
Now, what happened?
Are you two all right?
Yes, sir.
So we heard shots. Somebody was taking target practice, and we was the clay pigeons.
Good Lord.
Well, you better send everybody back, sir, in case there's more trouble.
Huh?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes, it's all right. Everything's all right. You can go back to the mess hall. That's fine.
Now, Hop, exactly what happened?
Well, we were on our way to the mess hall. I saw something on the ground, bent over to pick it up, and a bullet just missed my head.
You don't know who shot at you?
No, we ran after him, but we lost him.
It sure was lucky you bent over.
Hey, what did you find, anyhow?
A bracelet with the initial CD on it.
Carla Davis.
Uh-huh.
Well, that doesn't prove anything, Hop.
No, I suppose not.
Hey, wait a minute. Somebody's coming down the tunnel.
Stand by, sir.
You think it might be...
Hold it, sir. Easy does it, Miss Davis.
Oh, gosh, you scared me. I didn't see you.
Sorry. On your way into breakfast?
No, I already ate.
Then what are you doing in this section, may I ask?
Well, I lost something. I figured I might have left it in the mess hall.
Could this be what you lost?
Oh, yeah, that's it. But how'd you get my bracelet?
I found it in this tunnel.
Oh, I guess it dropped off my arm and I didn't know it. Gee, thanks.
When did you lose it, anyhow?
Well, it must have been when I was going into the mess hall or coming out, since you say you found it in the tunnel. I didn't miss it until I got back to my room. I was looking all over for it.
Really? Through these tunnels?
Uh-huh. Oh, why do you ask?
Did you happen to bump into anyone in the tunnel, someone who might have been in a hurry?
Uh-uh, didn't see a living soul. Yeah, you know, this joint's kind of creepy. I wish they'd use more lights. Honest, a person could get murdered down here and nobody would know it.
You can say that again.
Well, thanks again for the bracelet. I'll be seeing you around.
Sure thing.
So long, Major.
Goodbye, Miss Davis. Well, whoever shot at you didn't use the passage on the left at any rate.
How do you figure that?
Well, Miss Davis said she didn't see anyone.
Which means no one saw her either.
But, Hop, you said a man shot at you.
Didn't you notice her? She was wearing coveralls.
And it was dark. We couldn't see too good.
Hey, here comes more company.
Yeah. From the opposite direction.
What's that saying about the guilty guy always coming back to the scene of the crime?
Hold it there.
Oh, I see who it is. It's Mr. Gore.
What?
Brother, he jumped 10 feet.
Who's that?
And McCall.
Oh. Sorry. I didn't see you, Major. You startled me. Oh. Good morning, Harrigan. Tinker.
Morning.
Hi.
Well, holding another conference, gentlemen? Rather an odd place, isn't it?
Some rather odd things have been happening, Mr. Gore.
Really?
Somebody took a couple of pot shots at us right here in this tunnel.
Oh? Well, glad you came through, all right.
Did you happen to pass anyone on your way here?
No, I can't say that I did. Why?
We're just trying to track down our friend.
Sorry, I can't help you.
What are you doing here, anyway?
What am I? Oh, come now, Tinker. Surely you don't think I tried to kill you.
I'm only checking.
I was looking for you, too, as a matter of fact. I'm ready to run another series of wind tunnel tests in the fourth model. I thought you might be interested.
Well, sure thing, Mr. Gore.
But I can't say that I like being a suspect.
Come now, Gore. Tank didn't mean it that way.
Didn't you, Tinker?
Listen, all I want to know is, do you still think your planes are crashing by accident?
Well, I mean, it's...
There have been three attempts to get us since we've been here, Mr. Gore.
Yes, I see what you mean. Well, I must admit the possibility of sabotage, I suppose.
Big of you.
Tank. But I think Tinker must admit another possibility.
Yeah? What?
Some people might object to your rather belligerent attitude and decide to do something about it. And so the entire incident might be personal.
Simon Gore smiles as he addresses Tank, but his eyes are blank when he turns away. The boys look at each other questioningly. Is this another threat? Could Simon Gore have been the person who shot them? The day has only begun, gang. This may be just the first attempt on the boys' lives. So stand by.
Fellas and girls, have you ever flown on one of our airlines? Well, if you have, you know that at times even the most exciting trip can become a little boring. That problem has been solved by members of United Airlines crews. How many an enterprising and thoughtful airline pilot is providing his passengers with sprightly comments on a variety of subjects, ranging from world events to scenic and historic points along his route, is shown in a survey of air logs just completed by United Airlines. United was one of the first airlines to introduce the use of a flight log, which the captain issues to passengers during each trip, giving the plane speed and altitude, the outside temperature, estimated time of arrival at destination, and other pertinent facts. As something extra, United's pilots have been taking it upon themselves to throw in some chit-chat on miscellaneous matters. Many of the pilots take pride in pointing out historic spots. Captain Cecil Odell, while flying west from Denver, frequently jots down such information as, "Now flying over Overland Trail, taken by Mormons 100 years ago. We travel in 5 minutes, a distance which took them at least a day." Another pilot, Captain F.J. Joffrian, who lives in suburban LaGrange, outside Chicago, frequently appends a note on his log saying, "If anyone desires transportation to western suburbs, I have room in my car for four as far as LaGrange." Captain M.D. Hughes dresses up his log with many a humorous touch. For example, "Just remember, only 28 days until Christmas." Well, gang, next time you're on a United Airlines flight, take a good look at the log the stewardess passes on to every passenger. There may be a note on it for you. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. It is a half hour later. Led by Simon Gore, Hop, Tank, and Major McCall entered the cavernous chamber housing the giant wind tunnel, where the night before, Hop narrowly escaped death. And now the boys are witnessing a test on the same flight model from the master control room. The roar of the giant wind motors is muffled by soundproof walls. Gore is explaining.
Oh, I think I'm going to hit her with a book today. Open up those wind motors wide.
You've reinforced the cockpit, then?
Yes. Worked on it all night with Max Kell, my chief mechanic.
What did you do?
We put a second coil around the cockpit. Should do it, I think.
Yeah, how fast is the airstream now?
550. I'll boost it to 6.
Mr. Gore, you said you worked with Max Kell last night.
Yes.
All night? Were you with him all the time?
Well, I really don't remember. I may have left the workshop once or twice, or he may have left.
I see.
Harrigan.
Yes, sir?
I'm a little fed up with all these insinuating questions.
I'm not insinuating anything, Mr. Gore. I'm here to do a job for Major McCall, and I'll have to do it my own way.
But at the same
What's
time...
What's the speed of the airstream now?
600.
Mm-hmm.
Stress indicators are registering perfectly.
We'll hit 700.
Wow. Getting close to the speed of sound. Mr. Gore, where's Carla Davis? I haven't seen her around.
Oh? Well, this is her day off.
She left already?
No, the first bus doesn't leave for Yellow Creek until noon.
Yellow Creek? She's going there?
I suppose so. It's the only town for 50 miles around.
Ah.
Or wasn't I supposed to know that she's going to Yellow Creek?
Well, since you bring it up, how do you know?
Because she always goes there.
Okay.
Now, look here. There's no point in losing our temper.
Gore, Hop is only trying to do his job. I didn't ask him to come here, Major.
Well, I did. He's operating under my orders, and I'll thank you to give him all the help he needs. Remember, Gore, the United States Army has a definite interest in your flying wing.
Since you put it that way, sir...
I do put it that way. Now, let's get on with the test.
I'll try her at 750 now.
Oh, brother, really taking a big
out of stress indicator.
There's a little pressure on the top of the cockpit. Coil is holding. Looks like you finally have the answer, Gore.
Thank you.
Hey! Hey, the ship's moving.
What?
Look at her. She's jiggling around on her mouth. Right? Cut down the tree. Holy cow, what wing's going up? Cut down for it. Cut down.
Even as Gore reaches for the master throttle and slams it closed, the flying wing tilts on its mount, balances precariously for a moment, then, caught by the force of the wind, literally jumps into the air and crashes heavily against the wall. So, Simon Gore's fourth test model has been wrecked. By accident? Or has the unknown enemy struck again? We'll know more in our next episode, gang, so be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. So I'm Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same neutral station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.